Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Okay, I've got a little technical difficulties here. I don't know if you guys can hear me. But it looks like I got to reboot my phone, so it might be silent here for a minute. Bear with me. Okay, I don't know if you guys can hear me. I'm trying to reconnect now. Give me a moment. Okay. Got data problems here. Let me see. You can hear me good. Now I'm trying to get into my studio here on my phone. Okay, let me see. All right, okay, I'm almost there. Okay, slowly getting there. All right. I see the studio. I'm in the studio, but now I've got to wait for you know, the screen to repopulate and all that. Okay, here we go. All right, now today. Now we're going from yesterday. But today's podcast, which is in my opinion, a continuation from where we left off yesterday, is titled Dollar General and IKEA Business Model. Dollar General and IKEA Business Model. Man, I'm fascinated. Dollar General, and the reason why I'm interested in these two, I'm getting some takeaways from these two business models, which, you know, can fit, you know, what we're doing here, particularly, you know, me. But, all right, here we go. I'm going to start off with Dollar General. And it sort of reminds me of a book by C.K. Prahalad. C.K. Prahalad, the late C.K. Prahalad, wrote a classic book titled Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. Because at the bottom of the pyramid, you have the most people. And they do have money. All right. Now, so let's start off with Dollar General, the Dollar General strategy or Dollar General business model. Here's some highlights, and I've got 12 of them. Number one, there are 18,000-plus Dollar General locations throughout the United States. That's more than McDonald's. That's more than Walmart. All right. Next thing is typically Dollar Generals are located in food deserts. And there's two in particular that I frequent that they are in a food desert. Number three. You'll find a Dollar General typically where there are no Walmarts. Now, there might be a Walmart a few miles away, but you're not going to see a Dollar General next door to a Walmart. Four, there are four times as many Dollar Generals than there are Walmarts. Factoid number five, there are more locations of Dollar Generals than McDonald's franchises. Six, and this goes to the scalability. There are 2.5 new Dollar Generals opening on a daily basis. 2.5 new ones that open on a daily basis. Seven, factoid, the target market of households or customer base that they're looking at, the typical household, not individual, but household earns $40,000 or less yearly. Factoid number eight, they're typically in lower income communities. Number nine, typically you might find them within a community that has 20,000 people or less. Factoid number 10, the average income of a Dollar General, is $16,688 per year. All right. Number 11, some items that cost, many items within a Dollar General, not all, but many items, cost less than $1, and particularly food items. They do sell food items in many Dollar Generals, things like mac and cheese or, you know, rice or sugar or sodas, chips, cookies, ice cream, milk. This time of year, maybe eggnog. Anyway. Some of those cost more, some of them cost less. You know, pork and bean, canned products and stuff like that. And the 12th factoid here that I went over this, I mean, found this morning is the buildings, the Dollar General buildings typically have a smaller footprint than the typical Walmart. Or, you know, bigger box stores. But with Dollar Generals are not big box stores at all, though. So they typically have a smaller footprint. And many of their locations, they rent the space. You know, a lot of Walmarts are built. McDonald's franchises are built, typically. Now, in some places, you might see a McDonald's within a Walmart. You know, so more than likely the McDonald's is leasing space. But anyway, Dollar General, they typically, you know, they lease. There might be some exceptions on buildings, but typically they lease their buildings that they rent. So it's you know, they can pass all those costs off to the consumer. Now, IKEA, and I got to get more details on IKEA, but IKEA, they have kits, as we know, furniture kits, and they flat pack them. It's a do-it-yourself place. You know, you see something in there, you buy a kit of a, it could be a desk, a computer desk, TV stand. Matter of fact, we're going to go see what some of the things that IKEA is online, but, you know, do-it-yourself. And a lot of women. About to put this stuff together. And then they have, of course, due to the fact that it's a do-it-yourself type thing, you know, by buying the kits, you know, you're buying the kit at a lower price than you would be, you know, than actually buying something in one piece and having it delivered. That costs money. You know, if you have, like, say, Sears, you know, they used to, they still might live, I don't know. But, you know, they would buy that Sears all in one piece. They deliver it. The delivery man comes in and sets it. All that's labor. Okay. So with the flat packs, you haul it off yourself, thus saving everybody money. And you assemble it yourself, thus saving everybody money. All right. And therefore you got lower prices. So I think, you know, the same thing can be applied to housing. Let's see. Okay. All right. Oh, you know what? I forgot to do something. You know, I usually start my program off with some motivation, and I got ahead of myself. So, okay. We're going to go into how we can cherry pick some of these ideas and apply them to what we're talking about. Carlos opened up a eBay store, and I think I posted it on our Facebook page. It's My House TV on Facebook. So he posted that. Bear with me. Like I said, we usually start off with motivation. So anyway, we're going to go do that motivation. I jumped ahead of myself this morning. All right, we'll be back in a few.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway. And it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking, And mess around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay. Man, me and my phone this morning. All right. Once again, we're jumping off from yesterday. And today's live stream, before we open up the phone lines, is Dollar. I took a look overnight yesterday afternoon, and in wee hours this morning, Dollar General and the IKEA business models. And I found some interesting tidbits here. And also we have Carlos, he set up a eBay store, which I did post that on our Facebook page, which is Ismael's TV on Facebook. I posted that, and then I wanted to, okay, wait a minute, before we do open up the phone lines. Now, I just had to get, I'm scrolling so fast, all right. One more piece of motivation, and then we'll be ready to open up the phone lines and then go back to Dollar General and IKEA's business models and something I think we can apply to what we do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave my mic open just in case I lose the studio.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Okay, now, as I stated at the beginning, I jumped again, but I'll repeat it. I took a look at the Dollar General and IKEA business models, and starting off with Dollar Store. They have 18,000-plus locations in the United States. Many of them are located in food deserts. You will not see one right next to a Walmart. There are four times as many Dollar Generals as there are Walmart. They have more locations than McDonald's. They scale. They open about 2.5 stores per day. The target household, not individual, but the target household, as they're looking for a customer, but households that people that walk in shopping at Dollar General, those households take in no more than $40,000 a year, $40,000 a year or less, emphasis on or less. Lower income communities, you can find them. That's where you'll find a lot of them. Communities with less than 20,000 people, average income is under, for an employee at Dollar General, because you got Dollar Store, you got Dollar Tree, you got Family Dollar. I'm talking about Dollar General specifically. $16,688, that's what the average Dollar General employee makes. That's the average. Some make more, some make less. That's an average. They do have many items that cost a dollar or less, including certain food items. And then their buildings said we have a small footprint as compared to a Walmart. Then the other business model I mentioned was IKEA, flat pack kits. They sell kits, and they got into flat packing. There's a story behind that from their founder of the company. Do-it-yourselfers shop there, and, of course, if you do it yourself, they can afford to do things at a less expensive price. Now, before I go to the phone lines, let me IKEA. let me read a little bit about this IKEA, and I'm simply just going to their Wikipedia page. Okay, IKEA. It's a Swiss-Dutch multinational conglomerate based in the Netherlands that designs and sells ready-to-assemble furniture. Now, I'm thinking ready-to-assemble housing. That's how I'm wired to think. So, anyway, well, the Wikipedia page on ready-to-assemble furniture, all right, because anything can be basically ready to assemble. I mean, you can order, if you want a car, there are people out here that they do sell cars and kits, you know, but most people want a turnkey situation. But there is a market for the ready to assemble people, which are a lot of, there's a lot of DIYers out there. Anyway, ready to assemble furniture, also known as knockdown furniture, also known as flat pack, now that's flat, F-L-A-T, pack, P-A-C-K, flat pack furniture or kit furniture is a form of furniture that requires customer assembly. Now, see, when I'm reading that, here's how it translates in my brain. Ready-to-assemble housing, okay, also known as flat pack housing, also known as kit housing, is a form of is a form of housing that requires the customer or the homeowner to assemble. That's how I read it. Okay. But anyway, the separate components are packed for sale in cartons, which also contain assembly instructions and sometimes hardware. The furniture is generally simple to assemble with basic tools such as screwdrivers, which are also sometimes included. Ready-to-assemble furniture is popular with customers who wish to save money by assembling the product themselves. I might not be able to sleep tonight behind reading this. But anyway, producers and merchants benefit from selling ready-to-assemble furniture because furniture is bulky once assembled and thus more expensive to store and to deliver. Since the assembly work is done by the consumer instead of the manufacturer, its price can be lower. A furniture assembly service industry has developed, making it easy for consumers to employ someone knowledgeable to assemble their furniture for them. Produced mainly from the chipboard and medium dentistry fiberboard, the cost of producing this type of furniture is cheaper than using solid wood. The low-grade timber is coated with polymer laminate to replicate various types of wood, allowing a high quality looking finished product. Okay. Ready-to-assemble furniture has its roots to extend back a long way, as cabinet makers have been making furniture that is easy to disassemble for transport for centuries. Let's see. Early attempt to add a business selling RTA, ready to assemble, that means, printer was set up by designer Louise Brigham, who and two partners during World War I. By 1915, Home Art Masters was offering ready to assemble furniture kits at moderate prices through a mail order catalog. And Sears used to sell houses by mail order. You know, they would come in a kit, though. The buyer received a set of parts that the company stated could be quickly put together and finished. Everything, including instructions, were furnished. A boy or girl can set it up. That's what they had in the material. Home Art Masters was short-lived, and it is uncertain how many ready-to-assemble furniture kits were ever sold. The next experiments in running ready-to-assemble business stem from the 1940s and 50s. In the late 1940s, the Australian designer Frederick Charles Ward founded a mail-order ready-to-assemble furniture business because he was disturbed by how little affordable furniture there was for people of modest means. See, those people, you look at the these tent cities. A lot of those people buy those tents at Walmart. And tents, which come with instructions, are relatively simple. Now, you know, if you're in some place in Alaska, that tent might not do you much good, but, you know, people work with what they got to work with. But there's something here, and there's... In the Scandinavian countries, the furniture kit may have been independently invented by a Swedish technician, Gillis Lundgren, who had the idea when trying to transport a table in his car. According to reports, he had to saw off the legs of the table so he can put it inside the car to bring it home. He talked about the idea with his boss at IKEA, and IKEA started selling flat pack furniture in 1956. All right. And then some of the things that are flat pack: living room furniture, office furniture, bookcases, tables, beds, outdoor furniture, swing sets, patios, kitchen cabinets, CD, DVD storage racks, wardrobe closets, and desks. And see, when I'm hearing all of that, I'm thinking about houses, tiny houses. All right. Then there's another Wikipedia article, the knockdown kit, also known as, well, they spell it different, knockdown kit, or simply knockdown, or KD, is a collection of parts required to assemble a product. The parts are typically manufactured in one country or region and then exported to another country or region for final assembly. A common form of knockdown is Complete Knockdown, which is a kit of entirely unassembled parts of a product, and is also a method of supplying parts to a market, particularly in shipping to foreign nations, and serves as a way of counting or pricing. CKD, which means Complete Knockdown, is a common practice in the automotive, bus, and heavy truck and rail vehicle industries, as well as electronics, furniture, and other products. Businesses sell knockdown kits to their foreign affiliates or licensees for various reasons, including the avoidance of import taxes to receive tax preferences for providing local manufacturing jobs or even be considered as a bidder at all. For example, in public transport, projects would buy national rules. Semi-knockdown kits, also known as SKD, or incompletely disassembled kit, although it never has been assembled, is a kit of which partially assembled parts of a product. Both types, knockdown kits, complete and incomplete, are collectively referred to within the auto industry as knockdown export, also known as KDX. In cars assembled in the country of origin, exported, hold to the destination market, known as the built-up export. Well, you know what, this is all done for the automotive industry, because in Detroit, you know, Chrysler, GM, General Motors, and Ford, they're assembly centers, really. Pleasant Stephens, he's been on here plenty of times. He was the one that made me aware of that. But, okay, so the automotive industry, I'll be on this stuff all day and night. Buses, you know, motor coaches and all that. Let's see, rail, aircraft, housing. They have one here. I'm looking at an old ad, a 1908 ad out of Popular Mechanics magazine. Somebody was selling by mail order a summer cottage. I'm going to screenshot this one. Furniture, we already did. Anyway. This afternoon, you know what, for all of this week and this weekend, I'll be on this. Anyway, so let me find my studio. Anyway, that's what went off in my brain yesterday when you guys were bringing that up. So let me go back to the studio, open up these mics. Because as I'm reading this, I'm thinking about housing. You know, housing that has a small footprint. Let's see. Okay, wait, I'm almost there. Okay, now I found my way back to the studio. Now I got to wait for the all these things. The detail. Here we go. Okay, now let me open up my mic. That's my little morning rant that C was planting in my head yesterday. So I'm gonna open up. Start with Chris. Chris, good morning. All right, Chris might be doing something, so I'll leave his mic open. And then 703, Carlos, if you're there.
I'm here.
Okay. Well, you've opened up. Yeah, I can hear you clear. You opened up the store, so could you tell us that? I took a look at it two or three times, and I believe I posted it on our Facebook page. But you've got the eBay store open, so share with us that?
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the lowest hanging fruit, which was I have been giving talks on Clubhouse about how to build the mini greenhouse that grows mushrooms and microgreens. And this was a kit that I actually built for an elderly lady that was on a fixed income and that didn't have a lot of money for groceries. And I told her, well, you know, you can grow mushrooms and microgreens, and they're highly valuable. Mushrooms go for about $10 a pound, and microgreens, you know, they usually sell them in these specialty store, you know, specialty restaurants and stuff. And actually the microgreens, as it turns out, are the most nutritious, because the most nutritious is a seed, and after that is the seedling, and then it becomes less nutritious as it gets bigger and bigger. So microgreens are actually very, very nutritious food sources. And, of course, you could eat the seeds, but you wouldn't get as much, quite as much biomass. But seeds are also very, very nutritious. So I was looking at sort of, you know, different models that we talked about, and I was thinking, well, you know, the lowest level is the idea. You know, here's some pictures. And I actually had done a room on Clubhouse where I had a PDF, and as I went through the PDF, I spoke about it to people that were in the room that were interested in learning how to do it. So that gave me the idea that I already had the content that I needed in order to go after the lowest hanging fruit, which is just selling people the idea so they can order everything themselves and they can build it themselves. So I put together the PDF I already had, because I had talked about it in one of the Clubhouse rooms. And I also had the recording of the room that I captured with some software that allows me to capture and record a screen. So what I did is I made a movie, the presentation, while the audio was playing from Clubhouse. And I converted that into a movie that now explains, along with the PDF, how to build the mini greenhouse. So the buyers are going to get a PDF that shows, you know, all the pictures of it. And then they're also going to get a movie that also has, you know, a movie of the PDF with me talking to the audience on how to build the thing. And, you know, this one is simple enough that you know, anybody should really be able to figure it out. I mean, I was able to teach a lady that had never, ever grown microgreens or mushrooms to do so. So I figure other people should be able to figure it out as well. But, of course, I also put in there they can contact me via email if they have a question or something, because I think when you're developing something like this, you want to make sure that you're available to people that may have questions, so that way you're providing the best possible service, and they'll be prompted to, you know, share your project with other people. Now, the interesting thing about this is that I can convert that now into the next step, which is flat pack that's delivered directly from Amazon. Because if you look at the plans that I made, there's a parts list in it from Amazon that I saved as a wish list that has the cost and the descriptions of every single component that went into that mini greenhouse. So now that would allow me to, you know, I haven't done this yet, but Amazon has an affiliate market where now you can become an affiliate, create a kit, just like I did. And every time somebody buys that kit, you know, the parts that make up the kit, you get a percentage of that sale. Okay, the next step up from that is actually contacting the manufacturers directly. Like, for example, Northspore has agreed to partner with me. Northspore is the company that makes the mushroom blocks. I could also go to the company that makes the greenhouse, you know, the mini greenhouse, and partner with them. I could also go to the company that makes the seeds and partner with them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until now you're getting it shipped directly from the manufacturer, not through Amazon, to the end user, and now you can lower the, you know, now you can do it even cheaper. So now you can, you know, you can increase the margin of profit. And then, of course, the next step up from that is LA has wonderfully investigated. And by the way, LA, you're a genius. You know, I love the way you think and the way you operate. Very methodical. You remind me very much of military for some reason. But anyways, you know, what's the next step? Well, you build it. And you ship it built. The step after that is you have a store and you have it assembled and, you know, you sell boxes, you know, so these things all spread from that lowest level common denominator of the idea. And of course, as I mentioned to other people on other, as I mentioned on other shows, the lowest hanging fruit for inventions is the patent, because it's basically like the idea that I've just put on eBay that is now, you know, that stuff isn't patented because, I mean, it's just, I guess I could have tried to patent it, but I typically on stuff that's really that simple, I just don't waste my time just because, you know, I want to help people and you know, it's just basically a bunch of parts that people can put together. So I started with that one because that was the simplest, and I wanted to have a roadmap for doing it. So the next one that I'm going to do on there is going to be the carport one, and I'm going to use the exact same methodology. There's going to be a video, a PDF, a parts list. And, of course, with that one, the same steps could be taken down the road, you know, pre-built, built to order, put in a display, you know, in a greenhouse store. So that's what I'm thinking about. And then, of course, after that is the even the higher version, which is the, you know, the one that we could build with Brother Chris out of the steel frames and everything. And that, you know, that could also be sold as an idea that you know, later on can become all these other things. Now, the beauty of doing it this way that I realized is that you can build up the market very quickly with the idea, and then as it gets adopted, you can start using that to do the other ones. You know, the affiliate at Amazon, and then you can start working with the manufacturers directly, and eventually you can become your own manufacturer, which is what the plan is with Chris. And the inventions that I have for greenhouses that can grow fish, plants, and mushrooms in extreme environments. So thank you for letting me share that, L.A.
Well, I'm glad you had it out there. Like I said, it's amazing the power of the idea. It can be presented at different aspects of it, different phases of it. So like I said, with the what I just read off Wikipedia, it's the guy bought a table, but he had to saw the legs off and put it in the car. So it's interesting how that turned into a multi-billion-dollar business.
An industry. I mean, that idea opened up, opportunities for all other people that were doing different things, you know, because, you know, there's a table, there's a car, there's a house, there's, you know, once you have the idea, oftentimes it can be applied to many, many other things. And for example, now sure. That I've got that one site up, I could actually start selling kits now, you know, through Amazon, for example, but yeah, I'll land there.
Now you, for people, now you have it up on eBay. You opened up a store, which is open now. So could you share with us how can people get to eBay? When they get to eBay, what what do they need to do in the eBay search engine to find your particular link?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And what I think there's also a lesson in branding here. A brand is your description to the public of what you're doing. So I already had, you know, I leveraged something that I already had. I have a channel called OU812 Aquaponics. Okay. So I'm going to post the video that I made for the eBay store on OU812 Aquaponics, which is on YouTube. And I've already got, you know, 830 followers there. It's not a lot, right? I mean, there's some people that have, you know, millions. However, I do have a seed planted there. I have people that have been following my content that trust me and that know I'm a good person. You know, social capital, right, as LA would call it. So what I did is I called it OU812_aquaponics, you know, because I wanted people to associate the eBay brand with the YouTube brand that could eventually become a company brand. See how that works? In other words, right. I associated my YouTube channel and I used a similar name on the eBay channel, and it's OU812_aquaponics. Because, you know, these greenhouses eventually are aquaponic systems. You know, right now I've taught people the plants and the mushrooms. Well, the next step is the fish, right? I intentionally did not include the fish initially because fish are more advanced life forms that take some skill to keep alive. So my thought process is, when people can learn how to grow fish, I'm sorry, microgreens and mushrooms, the next kit will be, okay, here's microgreens, mushrooms, and an aquarium. Okay, can you keep the fish alive for 6 months? If you can, then you may be ready for the next step, which is the 10x20 carport one that has fish, plants, and mushrooms. See how I'm thinking? I'm trying to walk people up the path slowly. So that, you know, because, you know, what happens is if, and the reason I want to make myself available, I'll probably do through my YouTube channel for people that purchase on eBay. I'll I'm going to give them, you know, they're going to have access to my YouTube channel because I put it in my description on eBay. And that way people can ask questions about the mini greenhouse and I can make videos answering the questions. And this builds community.
Oh, excellent.
You know, everything is.
That's excellent.
Yeah, so now, that's the plan.
Good.
And then, of course, when they want the larger greenhouse, I've already got videos of me and the greenhouse for the past 11 years. So you see how that's going to kind of work together. And I'll
put that. Right. Now, for people who are ready for eBay, if you go to our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV on Facebook, and at the top of the – well, you got to scroll down just a teeny bit. And then you'll see DIY mini greenhouse for growing microgreens and mushrooms. And there are two pictures there. All right, if you click on that or tap on it with your finger or mouse – I'm on the phone, so my finger on the desktop, I guess, your mouse – all right, then it will take you to eBay. And Chris has, you know, four pictures. He's got the, you know, the two on the first page, then another page, another picture, introduction. Hold on, I pressed on too many. All right. Okay. Four pictures, or four pages of pictures. All right, now, then you scroll down a little bit. Plans, this is for people at this level, plans for a mini greenhouse to grow mushrooms and microgreens, OU812_aquaponics. He's got a link there for that. And this is $17.99. So for people who, if you want to start to reduce your grocery bill. Okay. you have it right here, and you can buy it now for $17.99, or you can add it to a cart, or you can simply click on watch, which I'm doing right now. Okay. Let's see. All right, then, let's see. Full description. Well, it's all there. All right, so that's
I should make
right, plans
should
include
make
instructional video, 14 minutes of PDF. And so Chris has got it. I mean, Carlos, rather. Carlos has got it all here. But you go to our Facebook page, It's My House TV, on Facebook, scroll down just a teeny bit, and then the micro greenhouse, that's there for people who are ready for that right now. Okay. Carlos, any other comment on that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I like teaching people, and for, you know, I think we need to collaborate and share our knowledge so that we all
right.
can create wealth for ourselves. So this is a teaching moment. You know, myself being an attorney, of course, I read the fine print about selling digital content. This is digital. You know, you're not getting the actual greenhouse. You're getting the know-how, right? I'm selling
right.
the know-how. And I had read that for digital stuff, you have to put it in the proper category, which is everything else. That's something that I learned yesterday. So for people out there, they're going to be selling, doing what I'm doing. The category is called everything else. And that lets the people know that it's not stuff that you're getting like you're not getting a product shipped, you're getting digital content. And then also it said that you have to make sure that you are the legal owner of that content and intellectual property, because you can get sued by people if you're not, right? Now, what I'm doing is I'm just selling other people's stuff that they sell anyway. So, you know, I'm not, how do I put this? I'm helping them. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I'm promoting North Spore. I'm promoting the greenhouse. You know, so this is all helping the people that make those individual components. So that it, you know, even though I don't own those individual components, there's nothing wrong with selling kits, you know, parts lists. So, because you're helping the person that's selling those, and they should be very, very happy that you're actually making sales for them. And this is how this is all related, you know. LA posted that on his page. Well, I reshared it on all of my pages. So now we're creating social capital between my pages. You know, the users of LA's pages are now going to see, the users of my pages are now going to see LA's page, and now we're cross-pollinating with each other, creating, as LA had beautifully put it in several shows, we're creating social capital with each other, so that now we're collaborating. And,
right,
and,
you know, Carlos,
bottom.
I've got an idea as you're speaking that because you've already created the product, the content, and all that. If we can organize a Zoom call, a Facebook Live where you're actually talking to a group of us, you know, at the same time where, you know, we can order the product and or basically apply what you're talking about. Because there was one lady on here about 2 weeks ago. Man, she broke down and cried momentarily. She's here in Florida. I haven't met her, but I know one of her friends who sold her a tiny house. She's got 2 acres. Then there's some other people in Chicago, so... You've already created the product, the content, and whatever, but I mean for less than $20. Okay, so so there's that market. So this Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. I'm gonna start asking around some people, and then we can hopefully within
by the end of the year, I'll put it that way, we can organize a Zoom call where, I mean, people, I mean, what, this is less than $20. So,
you know what I would do, LA, you know, for
yeah.
I was going to suggest that I have a Discord channel, which all the kids understand, by the way. Discord
okay.
is a program that's free that allows you to share screens, make videos. It's basically like Zoom on steroids, and it's free. And the kids use it for communications during video games and for talking to each other, for chat. And the kids are brilliant at it. Now, the interface is a little clunky for adults. You know, I had my youngest set up my Discord channel. And every time I have a problem with Discord, I have to run to her and say, hey, how do I do this? How do I do that? But Discord is an incredible platform that's being used.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Let's go with that. What I'll do this afternoon is I'm gonna contact some people I know on my end, and then we can you know get this thing going, because because even beyond Discord, you know, another market is for people that want to meet face-to-face and, you know, still build something together, plant something together, grow something together, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But we can start off with the Discord. The next step is the Discord. I like that. That's simple,
and then, you know,
and we can all do it remote.
That, you know, after that, I just realized I have a meetup group that I've been paying $90 a year for, whatever I'm paying, that I hardly ever use because of the pandemic. So
right. You
can see how this is all tied together, right? The Discord channel, when people join the Discord channel, they're joining a channel that now you can have constant communication with them. You have a ways of communicating with them. You have a way of sharing screens, of sharing content, of making videos. You can even watch movies together, you know.
Right.
So you build the community through Facebook, you know, eBay, Discord, right, all connected.
Right.
And now from Discord, you connect that to Meetup, which is the idea. You're brilliant that way. I mean, I got to tell you, brother, you're –
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought up Meetup groups. Because meetup groups are kind of, in my opinion, tricky. I've tried meetup groups a couple of times, and it seems like you need to build, and I guess it depends on, like, for instance, she's not on here today. It seems like it's best to build up an audience before you do meetups.
Yes, you have to. And that's the same exact problem I had. I was doing meetups explaining everything I'm talking about, and one person would show up. Why? Because I have no social capital. I never worked on being an influencer, whatever you want to call it. I never worked on social media presence. But once you have a community like a Facebook page, a YouTube page, an eBay store, I also have an Etsy store, by the way. I was considering putting this on Etsy, but I ended going with eBay. But you know, you're starting to build up a community, right? And then you do the meetups, and in the Discord channel, you could break it up by city and state. So Discord gives you an infinite number of channels that you can create.
You know what? I like that idea because one of the goals I had before you even met you and Chris. Is, you know, with the internet, that's like we're blogging right now. And the downloads, you know, people in the Philippines or Moscow might hear the show, or is it Philippines? I mean, or Timbuktu or something like that. That all sounds good, but what I would like is to build, like, you know, what, you know, if you got a local group of 10, 15, 20, even, you know, you build up to 50 people, locals, you know, like you're in Fairfax, if you can, because there's a lot of people that in all over the place, well, you're in the DMV, so there's a lot of people just in Fairfax County, and all of them, we're all wired. hard, but it's a matter of, all right, where can we find these people and get what? Because meetup is a local phenomenon. You know, people want to meet face-to-face locally. Just like the lady that was on here a couple of weeks ago, she held some event somewhere in here in Florida, and but nobody showed up. So I didn't tell her, but the mutual friend we had said what she needs to do is, because her 2 acres is in a rural area. I said her meet up in some place like Orlando first.
Right.
And then build some social capital there and then carpool them out to the 2 acres. Now, where you're at in Fairfax, that whole DMV is densely populated, so it'll be easier to do things there. But I know what you mean, because I did, because I'm into solar cooking or alternative ways of cooking, and I have a meetup at my house in D.C., and I had really 3 people. That was it.
Yeah.
Now, I used to advertise on radio, but radio doesn't do what it used to do. So. But, yeah, so I'll start working on it. Well, you know what? Did I download, because I remember when you mentioned that, did I download that app to my phone?
This one?
Oh, wait a minute. I think, because one night we were in one of those rooms. You were in there, too, and we were, Chris opened up your mic, by the way. Let's see, Discord. Do I have that app on my phone? All right, I got Twitch. I got Twitch on here. Wait a minute. Of course, I have TikTok. I heard they're trying to get rid of TikTok, but that's a whole other.
I heard that too.
Yeah, I hope they don't. But all right, you said, you know what? I don't have. I'm gonna download on my phone now. Discord, Chris. Your mic is open. You want to say Discord?
Good morning.
Discord app. Good morning, Chris. All right, now you guys can chop it up. I'm downloading this Discord to my phone. Okay. But, Carlos, that's an excellent idea. By
you
tomorrow
know,
morning.
Discord, it's like a radio channel. You can just tell people. The nice thing about Discord, and let me explain this to your audience, the beauty of Discord, it's like having a two-way, a multi-way radio channel on the internet. In other words, if you had Discord, like let's say me, you, and Chris wanted to have a quick meeting and share screens and even record the video, right? We could say jump on the voice channel and you jump on the – and I've done this with Chris, by the way. That's how we've been meeting with – you know, we've got other projects going and we've been using Discord as our way of having team meetings. And you can just say, hey, meet me on Discord – at this time, and you don't have to have a link. You don't have to have anything. As long as you have the app, you go to the voice channel, and you can see who's in the voice channel, and you just join the voice channel, and there you are. You can turn on your video so people can see you, so you can do like a Zoom-type call, or you can share a movie and watch it together. A lot of the kids are actually streaming Netflix to themselves, where one kid will have Netflix, and he'll invite 30 of his friends to watch a movie together, so the kids are the future and they're really geniuses, what they figured out, but I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'm downloading Discord to my phone. So I was doing that. Chris, any comments? I know you've been in and out today, so.
Yeah, I'm actually going to my visitation for my son this morning at 11. So I've just been listening.
And sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Yeah, meet you, Chris.
The only message I could probably give is, we can't save everyone. But if someone's story, someone's memory can waken somebody, and save someone, that's what we need to be doing. don't need to be repeating what's going on in this world. We need to be fixing these people that are lost. It's got to stop. But I'm gonna just go on with you right now because I'll be going off air here in a few minutes.
Okay. Well, I'll be playing around with Discord today. Let's see. It's still... All right, so... I'm waiting for it to do... So you say Discord is like... you say Zoom on steroids? Oh, wait a minute. Did I lose everybody?
What did you say, Alex?
Oh, yeah, you said Zoom. I'm not Zoom. Discord is like what on steroids?
It's like Zoom on steroids, and it's free.
Oh, okay,
you know, there's paid version.
And it's free.
But the basic version is incredibly powerful. You know, just for background for people that are into computers, you know, there used to be a IRC chat, which is the way gamers would communicate.
Oh, man, when I first got online, does that still exist?
That's Discord. Discord is IRC chat with a user interface. It's the same.
I remember that when I first got online, I got on there.
Yep, I used to play Doom on IRC chat. You know, where we would, we would chat and we would socialize, we would communicate that way. And then we had a 1200 baud modem where we would run an interactive game. I think the first one was called Castle Wolfenstein, which was a first-person shooter where you would run around and kill each other, you know, the beginning of first-person video games. And I that's my roots is from video gaming. I started when I was actually in law school. I started video gaming, but anyways, that's the background of that product. Is the IRC chat, which many of us, older folk, can remember.
I was on that a few times when I first got online. It was it was IRC. And there was another one.
Probably the forums. There was the chat, and then there was the concept of forums that were very early. The internet had it started with chats and then forums. So of course the chats was the way you could communicate with people in real time, and the forums were where you could go and post, you know, pictures and things like that and content.
Yeah, that's the beginning of everything. Right, Yahoo used to have a bunch of chat rooms, but then they got rid of that. They even got rid of, which I was surprised when they did, but they got rid of Yahoo Instant Messenger.
Competition, right? Other factors came in. I used to have all those channels.
Yeah. I got Discord on my phone, so I'll be playing around with that today.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do? Now that you've got it on your phone, okay, I'm going to go into Clubhouse, and I'm going to give you the link to my Discord server, and you click on the link, and you open it with the app, okay? And now you're part of my server. You're part of my community, and you'll see it's called OU812, and it's got all these channels. And I also have a dream habit. You know, that's the beauty of Discord. You can create multiple servers. The OU812 is the Open Innovation Engine. That's the overriding idea of what if people started collaborating and sharing information and protecting it for themselves and opening it for personal and educational use. That's the Open Innovation Engine. But then I have the Dream Habitat server that's also connected to that. You know, it's all intertwined. So once you click on that link, you have joined the server, and now you can say, hey, Carlos, you can friend me. You know, you can send me a friend request. And then we can communicate via chat through Discord, and you could, or any other channel for that matter. You know, that's the beauty of having multiple channels. You can contact me through WhatsApp. you know, Messenger, Facebook, you know, eBay, you know, everything. And now that community is being built, and then we can become friends and we can start adding rooms. And I, you know, I'd be glad to help you since you've been so extremely, you know, what an incredible human you are, LA. I would be glad to, you know, set up a Discord channel for you and see how that works. Now you've got your own channel for doing what you're doing. And when we collaborate, you know, we can, I can jump on your channel. You can jump on my channel. We can create a channel for Chris, for Hope. You know, this is how we can interconnect together and openly collaborate with each other. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I'll be playing this afternoon and all through the, until we get back out. I'll be tomorrow morning. I'll be.
Let me give you one more homework assignment. One more homework assignment. I want you to figure it out how to run Discord on your computer and how to link it to your phone. That's extremely powerful because now when you put it on, there's a way to link your, you know, don't create two separate accounts. People make that mistake. They can't figure it out, so they just make one account for the computer and one account for their phone. You don't want to do that. You can actually download Discord on your computer, and there's a way to link your phone to the computer. By the way, WhatsApp has that feature. Signal has that feature as well, where you can, like I run WhatsApp, Messenger, Signal, every single form of communication that I have, I try to run it both on the computer and my phone, so that that way you can operate everywhere at that point, right? If you're on the road, you can use your phone. If you're on your computer, you can use your computer. And of course, when you're sharing your phone, the screen is tiny, right? When you're looking at things on your phone, everything is on your desktop. Now you're talking full definition. You know, that's how the kids are watching Netflix movies at full definition. You know, once you put on your desktop, now you open up the possibilities of having, you know, Zoom calls where people could be on phone or computer, and now you have the opportunity to share your screens. Like I have two different screens on my computer, so you can share one screen or the other. So that'll be another thing for you. And if you search it, you know, the beauty of the internet is, you know, anything, any problem that you have, there's a million people that have had the same exact problem. So if you, you know, if you say, darn it, how do I connect Discord to my, you know, how do I connect my phone to the computer version of Discord? You search, you know, connecting your phone, you know, your Discord on your phone to your computer. And I guarantee you there'll be millions of people that have had the same question. And then they'll meet people and make videos, you know, on YouTube.
Right.
So anyways, everything is out there to learn, you know, for your listeners, you know, anything that you can possibly imagine right now, you can teach yourself.
All right. Well, I'm going to follow that lead, and we're going to cut it short for today because I want to get into this report back tomorrow morning on it. And then I'll catch up with you guys on, what do you call it, Clubhouse throughout the day or evening. So on that note, we're going to end it for today. Everyone have a good rest of the day. And go to our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV, and then scroll down and then look for just click on the Michael Green's eBay page where you can contact or order directly from him, and then we'll get on to the next part tomorrow on this.